This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon and welcome to RCR's Daily Brief. It's Friday, March 14th, and I'm Marie Buskey. First up, Jen Bainbridge will bring you the latest news headlines. We'll also hear from Professor Robert Epstein, an interview with Alastair Harding, RCR's 360, discussing tech giant Google and the power that it wields. We'll also hear some of my own 360 interview with behaviour and communication expert David Sherrill-Ambus on how governments abuse the science of nudging during COVID. And finally, Rodney Hyde will bring you today's edition of RCR Signpost. Now to the news.
Good afternoon, I'm Jen Bainbridge for RCR. Russian President Vladimir Putin says he supports US proposals for a ceasefire in Ukraine, but insists that any truce must address the root causes of the war. Speaking at a Kremlin press conference after talks with Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko, Putin acknowledged the idea is correct, but stressed the need for guarantees that Ukraine will not use the pause to regroup. US President Donald Trump says Putin's response is very promising and that he's open to a direct conversation with him.
A lot of the details of a final agreement have actually been discussed. Now we're going to see whether or not Russia's there, and if they're not, it'll be a very disappointing moment for the world.
Putin also signalled a willingness to restore ties with the West, saying Russian markets are open to returning Western businesses and energy cooperation with Europe remains positive. At home, the government is rushing open banking legislation through Parliament under urgency, with Commerce and Consumer Affairs Minister Scott Simpson pushing for rapid reform to boost competition in the banking sector. Simpson aims to pass the Customer and Product Data Bill by the end of March, making open banking fully operational by year's end, 6 months earlier than the Commerce Commission initially planned. Speaking at FinTech NZ in Auckland, he called the bill transformative, laying the foundation for future reforms in electricity, insurance and telecommunications. Labour leader Chris Hipkins says he firmly opposes private ownership of key infrastructure like schools, hospitals and prisons. The comments come after Prime Minister Christopher Luxon called for private investment in anything and everything when speaking at the Infrastructure Investment Summit and said he was seeking bipartisan support. With over 100 global companies attending, controlling $6 trillion in assets, Health Minister Simeon Brown says the government is explicitly open to public-private partnerships in health infrastructure. Hipkins warns against privatisation, urging transparency on which assets are being considered. Elsewhere, the Ministry of Education has removed relationships and sexuality education guidelines from its website, honouring a coalition deal with NZ First. Schools are now advised to use the 2007 curriculum until a new version is developed next year. Overseas, the US Senate Health Committee has pulled Dr. David Weldon's confirmation hearing to lead the CDC, citing a lack of votes for his approval, linking it to Weldon's scepticism on vaccine safety. Weldon, a former Florida congressman, says he was informed by the White House that his nomination would not move forward. He claims pharmaceutical industry influence played a role in the decision. Meanwhile, the Senate panel voted to endorse Dr. Marty Makary for FDA chief and Dr. Jay Bhattacharya for NIH director, with full confirmations expected. Nationalist politicians in Romania have staged a parliamentary strike after their presidential candidate, Carlin Georgescu, was disqualified. The Electoral Bureau rejected Dr. Georgescu's candidacy over claims of Russian interference. Alliance for the Union of Romanians leader George Simion says that the party will likely choose another candidate before the 19th of March deadline. And now for RCR Quick Links. NZME's biggest shareholder, Spheria Asset Management, says it backs billionaire Jim Greenan's plan for four new directors. Defence Minister Judith Collins says New Zealand is not among a group of about 15 countries that have committed to join the Coalition of the Willing on Ukraine. A significant number of New Zealand companies aren't paying any tax at all. An OIA request has revealed it's either because they are making a loss or have zero taxable income. Donald Trump has threatened a 200% tariff on European alcohol as the trade war escalates. Brussels has proposed collective arms purchases for EU member states. And UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer has announced major healthcare reforms and is looking to trim the civil service with public sector cuts. And that's RCR Bytes News for today, 14th March. I'm Jen Bainbridge.
Okay, let's turn to this week's episode of RCR 360 on the topic of digital manipulation and Alistair Harding's interview with Professor Robert Epstein, discussing some of the dark aspects of Google's reach, which goes far beyond individual profiling.
After we spoke last time, I started thinking about this even deeper, and I started noticing other little things. Like, for instance, there's a school in the town where I live, and outside it has a sign proudly saying that it's a school sponsored by a big tech company. And then you realize that what they're doing is that tech company is providing laptops for the students. And so they're building profiles on those students. They're building those students into their infrastructure right from the beginning. And then I started thinking even further, and I started looking at how our government does deals with Google to have all of government services provided. So it's not just us as individuals they're building profiles on and they're surveilling and they're manipulating. It's also our governments. This is a problem which goes far beyond just an individual level. This is a societal, civilization level problem, isn't it?
Yes, and it's creepier than you think. So that no matter how creepy you think it is, it's worse. So in the United States, I don't know if this is true worldwide, but in the U.S., Google provides all of its services to any educational system free of charge. So that means all of what's called G Suite, which is all the fancy Google stuff that businesses use, they provide it free of charge to our elementary schools, our high schools, our colleges. So even some of the top universities in the country, including the University of California, where I taught for many years, the whole University of California system, even UCLA, which is one of the top schools in the world, even UC Berkeley, they all use Google for everything, which means Google is monitoring every single thing they do. And there are top news organizations around the world, including The Guardian in the UK, including The New York Times, both of which have done investigative pieces on Google, which use G Suite. They're using all of Google's products and services, and every single thing they do is being shared with Google. Everything, all the investigations, all the attachments, everything is being shared with Google. And I know, because I'm in touch with people who work at Google and who are thinking of, you know, blowing the whistle, I mean, they tend to contact me before they contact anyone else. And I know that inside the company, that's called EHV, extreme high value content. So that kind of content coming from really important places like the New York Times, that kind of content, it's screened by algorithms, but basically there are people who have eyeballs on that content all the time.
In this week's show, I also spoke with David Charalambos. We discussed how behavioral psychology has crept into government communications. Now, explain to me what a nudge is.
Well, a nudge is really a subtle and usually unconscious prime in effect or something else just to influence someone's decision. So, for instance, like when they used to put the sweets near the checkout with the children, I mean, that was a negative nudge because the children would ask for it, the parents would feel guilty. Put in certain foods at eye level, that's a nudge. I mean, the famous one is in the airport in Amsterdam, where they put just a picture of a fly in the urinal. And what they found was that they reduced spillage in the men's urinal significantly. I think it was about 80%. So basically, it's just this subtle correction in some instances of getting people on the right track. The problem is that, you know, it's quite clear it's not being used for people's well-being anymore. It's being used to nudge people in a way that the person doing the nudging wants them to go. Mm. Make sense?
Yeah. And with nudging too, there was always a sense, if I'm correct, that those who have been nudged have the ability to opt in or opt out.
Well, yeah, that's the nice little, you know, small print, but it's not really been used that way. So even David Halpern, who pretty much wrote the book for the government, said, you know, the public needs to be informed. It also needs to be used ethically. But that went completely out the window from what we can see during the pandemic. And even Dr. Gary Sidley, who I interviewed on this subject, he, with a group of a lot of psychologists and experts, wrote to the government, or actually wrote to the Psychological Association saying, we've got concerns about the way you're using behavioral science. And they replied, oh, no, we're fine with it. So a large body of experts recognized it wasn't being used right. And Gary Sidley then had a paper published on, because they did lots of freedom of information requests, on the way that the government was using it. And it's a horror story when you look at what they were doing. They were like, the young people aren't scared enough. We need to really scare them. They don't feel threatened, etc. So, yeah, it was just, it was kind of, all the rules came out. You know, it was just free for all.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, with nudging, I mean, as I was saying to you before we got started, I worked in marketing and advertising for many years. So those are in sales, and those are all techniques that we used every single day to help to be persuasive.
Yes. And but it's basically turned into a science.
So then when do nudges become thwacks with a whopping great big stick, which we saw during COVID?
Yeah. Well, that's a really good question, because 2011 was pretty much when what is known as the behavioral science teams, they were in the UK first, was a department was created to basically advise the government how to use behavioral science to influence the public, which is concerning to begin with. I mean, because it was very much not so much secretive, but it wasn't really, the public didn't really know what was going on. But then pretty much a BIT team was rolled out to every country in the world. And England, because they were at the forefront of it, was doing a lot of the consulting. So in New Zealand, you know, the English office really did help set up the New Zealand office. But I mean, if you think about people in power, and if we assume that a lot of them do have a lust for power, and then suddenly this science comes along and says, well, we can, you know, we can amplify your effect and help you influence people a lot more, then it really, from that point, it's quite dangerous, if you ask me.
And that wraps up our news and commentary for today. Now for the RCR Signpost.
I'm Rodney Hyde. Welcome to The Signpost, your guide to our freshest RCR shows and helpful ways to take positive action. In last night's RCR 360, Orwell's Nightmare, Alistair Harding and Marie Buskey explored digital manipulation timely, as today is the final day for feedback on the biometrics privacy code. To have your say, visit privacy.org.nz or check the show notes. Also available today is Marie Buskey's chat with international superstar Dr. James A. Lindsay on wokeness, the role of faith in politics, and the global impact of Trump's return. In the weekly roundup, Dewey DeBoer and William McGimpsey discuss the war on woke, the Public Services Act, and how social and cultural forces shape infrastructure. And Rachel Stewart is back with Riding Shotgun. In this week's episode, she takes on the topic of ego. And join us 8 p.m. this Sunday night for my webinar on health outside the system with Dr. Sarah Farrant. We look at new ways to support your health, bypassing traditional doctors and drug companies. Register now and send in your questions. I look forward to seeing you then. In the meantime, if you're concerned about the Midwifery Council's move to cancel the words mother and baby from their scope of practice, Mana Wahine Kōrero is urging people to write to the Midwifery Council or request an investigation via the Petitions Committee. Also, Professor Grant Schofield wants urgent health reforms on prevention, mental health, and chronic disease. If you do too, you can find the petition in today's show notes. Finally, Marlborough Wine Limited has a special offer for RCR viewers. Use code RCR15 for 15% off at checkout. Buy 2 RCR mixed cases and get free shipping. And for Foundation Club members, check your Bites email for your exclusive offer. Cheers.
And that's all from us here this week here at Daily Brief. You can find all the links to the interviews featured in today's show below. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back again with more next week. I'm Marie Buskey for the Daily Brief.